Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the Serial Killer Podcast, the podcast dedicated to serial killers, who they were, what they did, and how. I am your Norwegian host, Thomas Wyborg Thun. The music you just heard was from the introduction music of the greatest radio show ever produced, Orson Welles' Mercury Theatre. It was from the show's dramatization of the novel Dracula by Bram Stoker. Since our dear Elizabeth Bathory, by many, is believed to be one of the main influences of Stoker's vampire classic, I thought it apt to include the Mercury Theatre intro to the Serial Killer Podcast's final episode in her saga. This is episode number 8. So, if you haven't listened to the other 7 episodes in this series, please do so before listening to this one. This episode is, thanks to you, dear listener, 100% sponsored ad-free. It is financed solely by my very loyal patrons, who are helping to produce the show via Patreon. As I have mentioned in the last couple of episodes, the podcast breached the 10 million downloads mark by the 1st of December 2018. If you wish to participate in this show's continued success and development, I have created several tiers for those of you that wish to support the show financially. If you pledge $1, that is still a really big help, but you are of course welcome to donate more, and the rewards for doing so grows the larger the donation is. For example, I will read out a public thank you if you donate $15, and if you really want to join the TSK aficionados, donate $50 or more. Go to patreon.com/theserialkillerpodcast to learn more. Any donation is greatly appreciated. Also, do not miss out on bonus content, previews, exclusive interactions with me, and more on both my Facebook page at facebook.com/theskpodcast and my subreddit on reddit.com/r/theskpodcast. I really appreciate listener feedback, so please feel free to post reviews, comments, or questions there. And so it is, dear listener, that everything comes back to the beginning. As the famous song lyric goes, we are back where this epic tale began, alongside Palatine Thurso and his men, by Castle Setche on the 27th of December, 1610. The same day that Thurso set out towards Setche, his young wife, Countess Erzsébet Jobor, sent a letter to him. The letter reads as follows. My lovely soul, dearest, as you requested, I sent a kitchen maid. They say that she is still the same, but whether it's true or not, only God knows. Well, whatever commandment has been broken, then it is very likely that after this it will easily be done, and it is possible that these people provide false testimony against them. Who knows what is at the castle? They say that she does the beating flogging herself with her hand, and if she had to meddle, and if she were Shirley, then it could have been thoroughly investigated, as your grace commanded. I will be taking care of matters here with all my might, my lovely soul, my beloved, and my lord. End quote. The night before the Palatine arrived to apprehend the Countess Bathory, she was well aware that the net was closing in around her. She was desperate, and along with one of her few friends, the mistress of Miava, she went out into the clear night with a scribe. The scribe was ordered to transcribe the following spell. Help, O help, you clouds! Help, clouds! Give health, give Erzsébet Bathory health! Send, O send forth, you clouds, 90 cats! I command you, leader of the cats, that you hear my command, and assemble them together from wherever they may be, whether they are on the other side of the mountain, beyond the water, beyond the sea, that these 90 cats come to you, and from you should go straight into the heart of the King Matthias, and also the heart of the Palatine. In the same way should they chew to pieces the heart of the Red Megiri, in the heart of Moses Giraki, so that Erzsébet Bathory shall not suffer any grief. Holy Trinity, so it is done. End quote. Spellcraft and dark magic did little to help Lady Bathory. As we remember from episode 1, when Thurso's men entered Setche Manor that night, they found the bodies of dead or dying girls strewn about, all having suffered from torture, beaten, flogged, burned, and stabbed. Within a few hours, additional bodies and victims would be found within the castle itself. At least 30 known witnesses, townspeople and servants of Thurso, arrived to take part in what was clearly a long-awaited spectacle. The manor house, located in town, was thoroughly searched, and then the party of armed men escorted the Countess up the hill to Castle Setche. She was accompanied by the whole crowd. Witness testimony from those present revealed what happened next. The procession went directly to the castle keep, the central fortification containing both main tower as well as dungeon. A search for bodies began, and the group immediately found what they were looking for. While the Countess stood by, watching in silence, the men came upon the body of a dead girl. According to Setche Castle provisor, Michael Hervoith, a coat was placed over the body and it was taken out on a cart. The men gathered about to inspect the dead bodies down in the dungeon more closely. Hervoith reported seeing cruel injuries to the victim's cheeks, shoulder blades and hands, with large wounds inflicted along with severe burns. Their flesh, he alleged, had been torn out with pliers. The men soon found another girl, who had terrible wounds but who was still alive. When asked who cut her, she said the woman named Catalin had ripped out the black and blue marks and the festering flesh with pliers. The Lady Nadasti, i.e. Erzsébet, had joined in and beaten her with her fists so severely that her right arm and hand was destroyed. An older woman who was still alive was also found. Her feet had been bound together because she had refused to hand over her daughter to the Lady Widow Nadasti. Erzsébet was led back to her manor house while the men continued their search of the castle. She gave a statement in which she maintained her innocence, claiming any wrongdoing was the sole activity of her servants. The four servants apprehended with her, the three old women and Fixshaw, were held overnight. The next day, they were taken in chains to Bitcha for formal proceedings. On the 30th of December, Lady Widow Nadasti was taken back up to Castle Setche and formally imprisoned there, while her accomplices, now held in the prison of Bitcha, had their confessions tortured out of them before the trials began. As her servants were tortured and confessing in Bitcha, the Countess was imprisoned deep in the very same dungeons at Castle Setche, where she had tortured and killed so many young girls. The local priests, who up until then had been her servants, went to her to offer consolation and to make sure she didn't commit suicide. According to one of the priests, the following occurred. Immediately upon seeing the priests, however, the Countess flew into a rage. "You priests are the cause of my captivity," she spoke furiously in Hungarian. Reverend Zacharias immediately apologized to her in Hungarian. His apology calmed her down momentarily, to which she then said to him, "You might not be at fault, but the pastor of Setche is." Reverend Zacharias had obviously dealt with her before. He spoke softly, as if to calm a lunatic or wild animal. "Your Grace should not believe this. I can prove with witnesses that it is so," she said. At this point, Reverend Ponikanush, who had managed to catch up with the conversation through his interpreter, declared, "I have preached God's word, and if it caused your grace to examine your conscience once, I have nothing to do with it, because I never named you." The Countess replied testily in her native Hungarian, "Then you will die first. And then, Mr. Megieri, you too have brought all this trouble upon me, and are the cause of my arrest." "What?" she said. Don't you believe me that, because of this situation, a revolt will soon take place? The Hajduk, who have already gathered beyond the Thais River, have written to me yesterday that even the Prince of Transylvania will avenge my wrong. Pony Canoosh remained silent as this was spoken. According to him, his interpreter did not relate everything that she said in Hungarian. However, the pastor noted that the countess now wished to send off letters, and that she called for a knight. She said nothing out loud, and no one questioned her as to what she was doing. Pony Canoosh thought the man whom she called was someone from her entourage. The fact that she could still summon servants, send secret messages, and make threats made him very nervous. Meanwhile, the countess continued to accuse the priests of being the sole and unjustified cause of her imprisonment, maintaining her innocence. Reverend Zacharias attempted to change the subject. "Do you believe that Christ was born for you, died and rose for the forgiveness of sins?" She shot back. "I also know Peter Faber." Faber was a Catholic priest and co-founder of the Jesuit order who worked to bring Protestants, such as these ministers, back to the Roman Catholic Church. What she said would have been insulting to them. Immediately, Reverend Zacharias gave her the Holy Bible and asked her to read it in prison, to which she retorted, "I need it not." Meanwhile, still stewing over her past remark, Pony Canoosh demanded, "I want to know who has caused your grace to have so much contempt for me by claiming that I am the cause of your detention." She turned to him and said flatly, "I will not tell you." Her temper suddenly flared. "Now you have angered me." She leveled her gaze at Reverend Zacharias as well. "And soon both of you will have angered me." "I do not wish to anger you," Pony Canoosh persisted. "I only wish to clear myself of the accusation of having been the reason for your detention." "I have been a mistress and mother to all my staff," she snapped back. "I have never been treated right, neither in the small nor the large, by either of you." Pony Canoosh immediately insisted that she think well of him because he prayed to God for forgiveness of her sins. She looked at him for a moment and then said in her most patronizing way, "To ask God for the salvation of someone else, especially in a special case, is a good work." Meanwhile, Pastor Nicolaus Barocius, who had been present on the night of the raid, who had seen the dead or dying girls for himself, and had heard from the still living that they had been forced to eat their own cut-out flesh. He stood by in silence while she went into another rage. "You nefarious and wicked priests are the cause of my captivity. But I gave my brother, Gabor Bathory, a message, and you'll soon have realized that you and your children will regret my fate." "Your grace," Barocius suddenly spoke up, "please do not despair, but rather kindly accept this call to repentance and partake of Holy Communion." Her face fell for a moment. It looked almost like a pout. "How could I do this when all of you are my enemies?" Barocius said gently, "Your grace is surely aware of what all has already been discovered here, and what terribleness has been confessed under torture by your old woman and the servant Fishko. Her expression suddenly hardened again. I will not admit to anything, she flared, even if they torture me by fire. So then, Barocius said, somewhat confused, after considering all of this, you still stand by your statement that you are innocent and that only the old women committed these horrendous deeds? Yes, she declared, I stand firmly by it and nothing else. Then why, he wanted to know, did you allow your old women to do such things? Her answer shocked all of the priests. I did it, she said, because even I myself was afraid of them.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In a document dated the 28th of July, 1611, Notary András of Karestur dutifully recorded the testimonies of 224 people. Court officials, servants, administrators, townspeople, clergy, and nobles from all throughout Erzsébet's vast holdings. The king also received a report of the testimonies given under torture by the countess's 4 accomplices. In sum, the results, unfortunately, were not what anyone wanted to hear, including King Matthias. In a shocking turn of events, these witnesses laid bare the putrid, dirty laundry of not only the countess, but also the outwardly illustrious Batharina Dasty families and neighboring nobility, in no uncertain terms. Hungary's beloved war hero, Ferenc Nadasdy, was exposed as a villain who brutalized servants, taught his wife bizarre torturing games, and covered up her murders. Personnel from Erzsébet's court and towns, respected squires and nobles, were accused of assisting in the murders by procuring girls in some cases their own relatives, engaging in a cover-up or turning a blind eye. As the allegations continued to pour out, suddenly Imre Megyeri was on the defensive. He and young Paul Nadasti had to lobby intensively now to protect their own staff against accusations of complicity or cover-up. The king was beyond astonished. As much as he wanted to implicate Erzsébet Báthory, he could not risk such terrible evidence against Hungary's national war hero, or against so many of its other nobles. That would raise the ire of too many. Desperate, he called another tribunal of witnesses to be certain of the testimony. Besides Cseche, the worst offences seemed to have occurred at the Báthory Nadasti holdings at Sarvar, Kerestur, and Lockenhaus. Matyas quickly ordered deputy notary Moses Zsiráky to summon key witnesses from those particular holdings. 12 were called, with the report completed on the 14th of December, 1611. Those testifying came from the nobility and supposedly held the highest credibility. Among them were star witnesses, including court officials Benedek Tiseo and Jakob Gilvasi, the two men who had rare permission to witness the countess and her accomplices in action. To the king's dismay, these witnesses repeated exactly what had been said about the shameful goings-on. No mistake had been made. At Thurzo's repeated urgings now, the king finally conceded. Countess Báthory would not be brought to public trial. Relieved, Thurzo immediately brokered a clever deal. In light of the evidence, he recommended a sentence of perpetuis carceribus, or perpetual life imprisonment, rather than the death penalty. However, he included a caveat to please King Matyas. Legally, it would be as though Countess Erzsébet Báthory never existed. Matyas's debt to her would be immediately cancelled, and a small portion of her lands would cede to him. Also, any documentation regarding the Countess, including all legal records of the incriminating proceedings, would be sealed. Finally, by order of Parliament, the name of Erzsébet Báthory would never again be spoken in polite society. King Matyas agreed to the terms. As a result, the Báthory and Nadasti reputations, including Ferenc's national honours, remained intact. Sarvar passed to Paul Nadasti, and Erzsébet's son-in-law were appointed permanent administrators of her other estates until Paul came of age. The lands of Protestant nobles were temporarily preserved against undue Catholic advances. And in 1612, the following year, King Matyas was crowned Holy Roman Emperor. For everyone, the news was good, except for Countess Erzsébet. Stonemasons arrived shortly thereafter to carry out her final sentence. She was never to be let out of confinement. Most likely she remained below in the dungeon of the castle keep. She was walled in, with only a single space left between the bricks, large enough for the passage of food, supplies, and excrement. Likely, during the first few months after imposition of her final sentence, she received visitors, Her daughter, Catalin, for instance, who brought supplies such as candles, parchment, ink, and favourite food items. As her sons-in-law, Counts Drugeth the Homonai and Zrinyi, assumed full responsibility for administering her estates, there must have been at least a few visits in which they, or their representatives, inquired after details. We also know that Georgi Thurso's wife, Erzsébet Zsobur, paid more than a few visits in January of 1612. Each time that Countess Zsobur visited, however, she left with more than what she came with. She was systematically raiding Countess Bathory's coffers, including her jewellery. The plundering was so bad, in fact, that the Lord Chief Justice, Count Sigismund Furgach, writing on behalf of the Supreme Court of Hungary, finally ordered Georgi Thurso to put a stop to his wife's pilfering. Slowly, the visits diminished, and people began to forget about the Countess. No longer in charge of the estates, her importance faded. Of course, she continued to write letters protesting her innocence and demanding an appeal, but no one answered. It is said that when supplies of parchment ended, she began writing on the walls. While by no means an ideal living condition, the Countess did have enough food, water and air to survive. In her 50s now, she would still live another 2.5 years behind the wall, at an already advanced age for the time. How she spent those last years is hard to say. Likely she no longer enjoyed the amenities of a full staff and had to eat the same food as the small crew assigned to guard her and maintain the property. For a noblewoman accustomed to lavish feasting, the simple fare of commoners must have been both insulting and revolting to her, at least initially. It is also likely that, without the benefit of any ladies-in-waiting, the very act of dressing and undressing herself would prove a nightmare for this noble who probably never had to do it herself, and perhaps did not even know how. Also, given the complexities of 16th and 17th century female clothing, the elaborate rare tying drawstrings of both her dress and corset would have been impossible to undo without assistance. Had she been imprisoned in one of these elaborate gowns, the ghastly possibility arises that she might never have been able to remove it after being walled into the dungeon. Eventually, however, Erzsébet herself knew the end was coming. We know that she had no great affection for her sons-in-law. As matters currently stood, upon her death, both men planned to assume permanent control over the sizable properties they were administering on behalf of her son and two daughters. Thus, on the 31st of July, 1614, 3 weeks before she died, two priests from the Esztergom bishopric, Imre Agriensi and András Kerpelich, arrived at Castle Secse by her request to witness and notarize an addendum to her last will and testament in order to keep property and wealth away from her sons-in-law. Erzsébet's attempts to keep property away from Georgi Drugeth the Homonai were likely in vain. A little less than 3 weeks later, on Thursday the 18th of August 1614, 16-year-old Paul Nadasti transferred 1/3 of the dominion of Secse and Bekov over to him. 3 days later, on the night of Sunday, the 21st of August, 1614, Countess Elizabeth Bathory was concerned about her poor circulation. She told her bodyguard, "Look how cold my hands are." Her attendant told her that it was nothing, and that she should simply lie down. With that, she put her pillow under her legs and then began singing with a beautiful voice. She died 2 hours after midnight, apparently in her sleep. Elizabeth was buried at a church in Cheche, some say in a crypt beneath the church, while others claim the local cemetery, on the 25th of November. It is said, however, that the residents soon began to complain that the infamous lady was lying under holy ground and demanded that she be removed. Elizabeth's remains were thus supposedly taken back to the Bathory family estate in 1617. Where she lies today, however, is something of a mystery. On the 7th of July, 1938, the crypt at the Cheche Church was excavated, but the Countess's tomb could not be found. In 1995, the family crypts at Nir Bator were opened, but no remains of the Blood Countess was found there either. Castle Cheche is a ruin, but still stands today. And perhaps, if you go there on a starry moonlit night, maybe you'll see a cat's green eyes looking back at you from its darkened, ruined halls.
Don't worry. Put out the lights and go to sleep. It's all right. You can rest peacefully. That's just a sound effect. There. Over there in the shadow, see? It's nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. I think it's nothing. But always remember, ladies and gentlemen, there are werewolves. There are vampires. Such things do exist.
And with those words from my idol, Orson Welles, our tale of Elizabeth Bathory, the most prolific female serial killer of all time, comes to an end. No other female killers come close to her depravity and evil acts, and let us hope none ever will.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
I have been your host, Thomas Vyborg Thune. And this podcast would not be possible if it had not been for my dear patrons who pledge their hard-earned money every month. There are especially a few of those patrons I would like to thank in person. These patrons are my 16 most loyal patrons. They have contributed for at least the last 14 episodes. And their names are Sandy, Maud, Amber, Anne, Charlotte, Christina, Claudette, Evan, Jennifer, Joe, Lisbeth, Mickey, Philip, PJ, Sarah, and Troy. You guys really help produce this show, and you have my deepest gratitude. Thank you. As always, I thank you, dear listener, for listening. Please feel free to leave a review on your favorite podcast app, my Facebook page at facebook.com/thesk podcast or Reddit. And please do subscribe to the show if you enjoy it. Thank you. Good night. Good luck.